There is a lot of talk on the national scene, especially when it comes to politics and elections, about the rural-urban divide, whether it has to do sometimes it's state funding or jobs or population growth or loss. Each year, the Center for Rural Policy and Development provides updates on economic and demographic data in rural Minnesota. They believe that it's important to understand the past, present, and potential futures of rural region. Here to tell us more is Kelly Ash. He's a research associate with the Center for Rural Policy and Development in Mankato. Kelly, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
So it was, before we get into the new study that's out, it was exciting when I sent you an email. You actually knew KBXE. You listened to us.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big fan of all the Amper stations across the state. And, you know, here at the center, there's actually three employees, and we all work from home. But the thing is we have to live in rural Minnesota. So I actually live and work out of New London, Minnesota, in Candiohi County. And we have KVSC here out of St. Cloud. I listen to quite a bit, and KAX and KUMD. I stream online, and Jazz 88 in the Twin Cities. So, yeah, I'm a big fan.
Well, that's great. Thanks, Kelly. We appreciate that. So, help us understand about this study on the state of rural Minnesota, why you do it every year, and mostly, too, how do you define rural?
Sure. Well, let me give you a little context about the center. We were actually created back in the late 90s by the Minnesota State Legislature. They were passing policies, and they would get a lot of feedback from kind of metro-based organizations, but we're having a hard time getting better context on the rural setting in Minnesota. And so they actually created and fund the Center for Rural Policy, and one of the stipulations in actual statute is that we have to develop the state of rural every year. And so we, you know, the census releases their data every December. And so we kind of gather all the data from all the different data sources, including the census, and try and get it out in January, early February, as session starts up, just to give legislators a kind of brief update on what's happening so we can just kind of have better conversations about our rural areas. And like you said, part of that is learning how to define rural and urban. And, you know, I think you talk to anyone and they kind of start throwing these words around, such as greater Minnesota, rural areas, even the Twin Cities, right? But nobody really knows what that means, and it's because there isn't a consistent definition of what those things mean. It really depends on the data source you're using. And so, you know, we always say, there's a lot of nuance across Minnesota. So if somebody coming from the Twin Cities going up to Brainerd, Bemidji, Park Rapids, that's their getaway. Their kind of rural getaway, get out to the lakes and hang out. But for other communities around those regions, even like Park Rapids, that's their economic center. That's where they go to shop. And so really trying to get a clear definition of where that all means. And we kind of call it there's a certain ruralness and a certain urbanness across Minnesota. And we try our best to capture that when we're talking about these trends. So,
can you tell us more? You mentioned the census, but how do you get this information? What is that like?
Yeah, it's all secondary data. So it's all the decennial census, which is the, well, I should say the United States Census Bureau, which is the decennial census, and then the American Community Survey. They release data every year. And then we use the Bureau of Labor Statistics. We also use the Bureau of Economic Analysis, deed data we use. You know, there's the state agencies and federal agencies have a lot of data on their hands, and it really just requires somebody to go through it and make sense of it. And that's kind of what we work on and try to provide.
Well, let's talk population trends. Where are increases in population, and why do you think that is?
Sure. You know, there's two things that we're seeing. Again, I think a lot of people have this perception that the only place that population increases are occurring is in the Twin Cities, kind of a seven-county metro, and then there's just population loss throughout the rest of Minnesota, except maybe Rochester. But that's really not the case. What we see is a lot of nuance across the state. Where we typically see the population increases are obviously urban areas, so the seven-county metro, obviously, but there's also urban areas in greater Minnesota, so places like Moorhead, Mankato, Rochester, even Duluth now, Bemidji, those types of places you're going to see population increases in greater Minnesota. But outside of just urban areas, we also see it in the Central Lakes region. So these are counties such as Cass County, Itasca, Hubbard, Clearwater, those Crow Wing County, even St. Louis County, those types of counties is where we see some population growth in greater Minnesota. And then the second piece, and those are types of counties that we would call kind of recreational. They have a lot of lakes. particularly a lot of older people moving into them once they retire, but also you're seeing some 30 to 49-year-olds move into those counties. But also what we tend to see outside of the Lakes regions are counties that have a higher percentage of the population that's non-white. And this is typically Hispanic or Latino populations, Somali populations, and even some Hmong. And those occur in places like, for example, I would use Nobles County, where Worthington and southern Minnesota is located. You know, anywhere between, they have a very large percentage of the population that's non-white, and they see considerable growth.
Where is population going down in rural Minnesota?
Yeah, you're typically seeing those in agricultural communities that haven't been able to get a influx of the international migration, so those immigrant refugee populations. So really, southwest Minnesota is really being hit the hardest when it comes to population decline. And then even northwest Minnesota, where agriculture is pretty heavy.
Kelly, one of the things I'm aware of is that in Cass County, I worked at a church, and I often described it as a rural setting with an urban mentality. And and one of the things, I mean, because people are coming up to the area, and their expectations are that they want the real product. They don't see themselves as rural, but it is a recreational area. Does that make sense to you?
It sure does. You know, part of that, too, is you tend to see in those counties a lot of in-migration of people, right, that have had a lot of experiences outside of rural areas. So for me, for example, I'm going to use my own personal story. I grew up in Hancock, Minnesota, which is down by Morris, Alexandria, Stevens County area. And I grew up there. I went to the college in the Twin Cities, and then I lived in St. Paul for 10 years and I was done with it. Turned 30. And then moved back to now New London, Minnesota, a very rural area. But I've had those kind of, you know, those urban experiences. And part of that is some of us even bringing those experiences with us and trying to imitate that maybe a little bit in some of these rural areas. And we do have some expectations of those things happening. And so you're just seeing a lot of movement and a lot of those experiences being exchanged. So,
wow, that's almost exactly my story as well, Kelly, what you just described. When I moved back to the area, was in St. Paul for 10 years and just wanted to get back to kind of where I had grown up as well. We're talking to Kelly Ash. He's a research associate with the Center for Rural Policy, telling us about the study they just released, the State of Rural Minnesota 2019. Tell us more. Let's kind of dive into this demographic in rural areas of 30 to 49, is that how you describe it, and why they might be moving? Is there job opportunities in rural areas?
So, yeah, this is something I care very much about. So a lot of rural areas tend to really focus on the loss of their 20 to 29-year-olds, right? They're losing their young people, and this seems to be a very strong narrative at the state level and even at the local level. You see a lot of local communities really, like, you know, fretting about this. But if you look at them, the data, and you look at the in-migration and out-migration, what you actually see is that, yes, there is an out-migration of 20 to 29-year-olds. But what we talk about very little is the 30 to 49-year-olds that we see moving into rural counties. And it's a very strong trend. This has been happening since the 1970s. Many times it doesn't overcome the loss of 20 to 29-year-olds. But that in-migration is important to look at because we view it as an opportunity. And so a lot of our counties aren't even focused on it. So part of this research actually comes from the University of Minnesota Extension. Ben Winchester is his name. He actually calls it the brain gain of rural Minnesota. You're losing your 20 to 29-year-olds, but you're gaining these people that have a lot of life experience, have had careers, maybe have a little bit of money and income moving in. How do we take advantage of that, and how do we actually develop campaigns that help recruit those folks? And so you're starting to see that across much more in greater Minnesota. And so my story and your story is the story of actually a lot of us living in rural Minnesota, or greater Minnesota, I should say, that, you know, we leave because, or we maybe left and went to an urban area, got our experiences in, but typically we reach that 30 to 35 years old and we're kind of done with the race a little bit. We want to go back to a slower pace of life. More affordable housing is a big one that we see. And just kind of what we call quality of life issues. What you don't hear a lot of, it isn't have to be about jobs, and that's a big shift. So when you look at a lot of this, a lot of folks that move out to rural Minnesota are willing to maybe take a pay cut, maybe not work the perfect job, but they're making that decision because of quality of life and what they feel like they gain by the move. And so when looking at economic development, this is kind of a big game changer, because I think a lot of folks say, in order to gain people, you have to have jobs. What this trend is showing, that that isn't necessarily the case. And so we're no longer looking at job recruitment and retention, but how about people recruitment and retention? That's a pretty big shift. But that's not to say that there aren't job opportunities in rural Minnesota. And part of our report actually looked at the number of job vacancies in greater Minnesota, and we have a significantly higher number of, or I should say, significantly higher percentage of job vacancies are in greater Minnesota than actually in the Twin Cities.
You know, you're right, though, that the narrative certainly seems to be about the older people in rural areas, aging population. We hear that all the time. But I, you know, just anecdotally, I know a lot of people, younger people, who work in industries that serve that aging population and are doing well because there are more professional job opportunities for them to serve that aging population, which is kind of interesting.
It is. Yep. That's exactly right. And, you know, when we talk about rural Minnesota aging, it's definitely happening. But again, part of that is we're looking at statistics. We're looking at an average. And so if you're losing your 20 to 29-year-olds, but you're gaining 30 and older, that just drives up the average even more. So it's not like we're all just 65 and older. It's that we're gaining a lot of people that are kind of in that 30 and on age group, which really drives up our average as well. So it's not like it's just 65-year-olds and nothing below it. I think that's kind of the perception and narrative people sometimes get caught up in.
Is there a correlation between broadband and people moving to greater Minnesota?
You know, I can't find it in the data, but anecdotally, I hear this a lot. We actually did some research on rural housing, because one of the reasons 30 to 49-year-olds were moving into greater Minnesota was because of affordable housing. But now we're hearing that there's actually kind of a housing shortage, right? I think you talk to anybody and they're like, man, I can't find housing right now. It's a little bit brutal. So I actually ended up interviewing some real estate agents, and I kept hearing from real estate agents, particularly when they're looking, they're kind of working with younger households that maybe have a younger family or things like that. Having access to broadband is typically one of the first questions they get asked and one of the first criteria they're hearing about housing in rural Minnesota. And so I believe it is an issue. It's hard to see it in the data because there isn't good data that exists to correlate that relationship. But we're under the belief that it is important. So not only for that piece, but another piece I'd like to bring up is one of the differences we see just in the labor force in rural Minnesota is that there's a lot of folks that are what we call non-employers or self-employed. Sometimes we call them 1099ers, right? They get these 1099 tax forms from a company. And those are the types of folks where they don't have employees. They're generally working out of an office from their home. And broadband and access to really good upload speeds in particular become very important, and something that I think that gets overlooked. And there's a higher percentage of these types of businesses or employment in greater Minnesota, particularly in northern Minnesota, compared to our urban areas.
Kelly, for us at KEXC, KBXC, so we serve a large geography with, you know, not that many people compared to other, say, national public radio affiliates around the country. And we're always kind of trying to figure things like this out. So a report like yours is very useful to us thinking about the future, who are going to be the future members, who are going to be the future people involved in a station like ours. And you mentioned the legislature earlier, but a report like the State of Rural Minnesota coming from the Center for Rural Policy and Development, who uses this? How is it helpful to people as they plan for the future of their communities?
Sure. So since our funding comes, most of our funding comes from the state legislature, our main audience is actually them. And so this report is mainly for policymakers to kind of understand the nuances that are happening in greater Minnesota. And then generally what happens is we release this report, and people read it and they like it, but what they really want is for us to come and do a presentation and kind of present to them this information, and then it kind of opens up all these conversations and questions about what's actually going on. And that's kind of the start. This is just kind of a start of opening up those discussions to get a little bit more, I would say, specific regarding policy. And so that's kind of what we're going for, and that's generally our audience. But that's not to say this isn't useful for we have a lot of amazing philanthropic organizations across the state that want to know more about rural Minnesota. And in particular, we have a lot of RDCs, those regional development commissions. Those guys do good work. We have initiative foundations across the state. And all of those are doing really good community and economic development work. And our hope is that this report kind of gives them a little bit more just concrete information that's really, you know, geared towards talking about this in a rural or greater Minnesota narrative and not just so metro-centric. So, you know, people can go on our website and check it out at ruralmn.org. We also created an online app called the Rural Atlas, which you can get to on our website as well, that gives even more data and information. All the charts are interactive, so folks can get even more information about what's happening.
You can hear kind of the passion, can't you, Michael, in Kelly's voice for rural areas and for finding all that data, which, you know, you don't always hear people so jazzed up about it. It's really fun to talk to you. I hope we can do it in the future. It's Research Associate Kelly Ash from the Center for Rural Policy and Development. Thanks so much for your time, and we'll check in again with you sometime.
Thank you so much, you guys. Really appreciate it.
You're listening to the Monday Morning Show. We connect you to the future trends in migration and economy for rural Minnesotans. We're member-supported and an independent National Public Radio affiliate, KEXE, KBXE.